Welcome in. It is the Wendy's Little Show today. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, and Gary Ellerson. It's not the big show. There's no Rodney McLaugh. All right, I'm over it. Mike Clemens is producing the show today. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, he will be here today at about 2:30 or so. And hopefully Rodney McLaugh feels better, and he'll be able to come back on Monday out sick today. So, first things first, we will have Steve Novak on the show, of course, of the Fox Sports Wisconsin broadcast and former Bucks and Marquette basketball player. Everybody knows Steve Novak by this point, I would think. He played for Dwayne Casey, who was let go by the Toronto Raptors, and he'll join us at 2:35 to talk about how good of a coach Dwayne Casey truly is, what kind of a fit he would be for this Bucks roster, what he would bring to the table as a head coach if the Bucks were to go down that path and hire him as head coach going forward. To start off, though, today, here is the question. And Marty's going to be running social media today, so he'll be able to throw out the questions on Twitter and Facebook. Dwayne Casey, Budenholzer from Atlanta, or somebody else? Who do you want as the next Bucks head coach? Your choices are Casey, Budenholzer, or somebody else. And I just want to see where this is all going to go, because I know there's a lot of support for Bud here in Milwaukee. A lot of people wanting him to be the next head coach, a former Atlanta Hawks head coach, who had some success in Atlanta, obviously, and then they decided to gut the team and he was left with nothing. He apparently, according to Wojnarowski of ESPN, is being strongly considered for the Raptors job. Might be the reason why they fired Casey was to go get Budenholzer to come coach the Toronto Raptors. Whether or not that plays out that way, I don't know. He just interviewed, Budenholzer did, for the Bucks job on Tuesday. So they've already talked to him. But the Bucks and their process haven't gotten to the finalist stage yet. So my understanding of this is he hasn't talked to ownership yet. They just talked to, I'm assuming, and I'm not quite sure how this is working over there. I'm assuming it's Fagan and John Horst doing the interviews. And then once you get to your final three or whatever the case may be, then the owners get brought in. They then do the interviewing process, and then amongst all of them, hopefully, they can figure out which one they all agree on and go from there. So, Gary Ellerson, I ask you the same question that we're going to throw out on social media and to you on the phones. Budenholzer, Casey, or somebody else? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. This is a coach of the year type guy in Dwayne Casey. He's had 350-win seasons with the Toronto Raptors. Those are the only 50-win seasons in the history of the Toronto Raptors, is by Dwayne Casey. He had 1 year left on his deal at $6 million. My understanding from what I've been able to come across and figure out this morning and leading up to this show is the Toronto Raptors is a, I don't know if it's rare, I'm going to call it rare, situation where the owner actually does not get involved on the basketball side and stays out of it. So this is the general manager's call. To move on from him. This was not owner-induced, but in order to get over the hump, they felt they needed a new voice after the time that, all the time that he's been there, and that's what they're going to do. Also interesting to know that the general manager in Toronto has been a GM now in Denver and in Toronto for 8 seasons total between the two, and he has never, ever had to hire a head coach. So in all of his time as GM, he's inherited coaches and let them coach, and he's never actually had to hire one. So now he's going to get his first chance to hire a head coach for the Toronto Raptors. So that, I think, is a lay of the land. I think I've informed you on most of what you need to know, I hope. If not, I'm sure somebody else will call in and tell me more to the story. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Gary Ellerson, say you.
So here will be the lay of the land, if you could, Steve. And I don't know if you can do a side-by-side, but can we pull up Casey's record, Budenholzer's record?
Sure.
Playoffs, not playoffs, you know, because I think at the end of the day, I think that's kind of what it comes down to. You know, you're looking at, you want to coach with winning pedigree. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for if you're a Milwaukee Buck fan. And I don't know if a lot of people know much about Budenholzer. I don't know if a lot of people know much about Dwayne Casey. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people know a lot about the Van Gundys of the world. You know a lot about Jason Kidd. You know a lot about you knew about Steve Kerr, but only because of his basketball career.
All right, I got them both.
You have them?
Yeah, now remember, Dwayne Casey, for those of you that were here back in the day when George Karl was here, Dwayne Casey and Terry Stotts were both assistant coaches under George Karl in the beginning of their career. And Terry Stotts was George Karl's right-hand guy for a majority of the time. So when you look at Dwayne Casey, he was in Seattle back in the day when they were the Supersonics. From age 37, that was his first job as an assistant coach, and he was there through age 47 in Seattle. Then he became the head coach of the Timberwolves for two seasons.
Who was this? Casey?
Casey.
Okay.
In 2005, at age 48,
this
he
was
went
after
Seattle.
This was after Garnett, after that?
No, I believe they were all still there. I'll call up that roster.
You don't have to, but go ahead. In 2005.
So 2005, when taking over the Minnesota job, 33-49. 2006, 20-20 in 40 games. Then he
went wrong.
Then he was let go. Then the Dallas Mavericks, he was an assistant coach there from 2008 through the 2010 season. Then took over the Toronto Raptors head coaching job in 2011 at age 54.
You waited a while to get another head coaching job.
Like 6 years or something like that. Well, yeah, somewhere in that area. 4 years, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Toronto, 23-43 his first year in 66 games. The next year, 34-48. And that was a fifth place finish. And then the next year, they flipped the switch and never looked back, winning the division at 48-34, then winning the division at 49-33. And then comes the run, 56-26, 51-31, and 59-23 the last 3 years for Dwayne Casey. As far as playoffs go, his first appearance in the playoffs was when they were 48-34. They lost in the first round in seven games. The next year, they got swept in the first round. The next year, they made a run and won 10 and lost 10 in the playoffs. The next year, they went 4-6 in the playoffs. And then this year, they went 4-6 in the playoffs. So their best run in the playoffs was to the conference finals in 2015-16. And ended up losing there and then losing the last two seasons as well. So that's how Casey rounds out his career there. Budenholzer.
What's his total record?
His total record career is 600 and it's 373-307 for a 549 winning percentage, to be exact.
Right.
He's 21-30 in the playoffs with a 412 win percentage.
Okay.
Budenholzer started his career earlier than after Dwayne Casey. He got an assistant coaching job with the San Antonio Spurs at age 27. 1996, and was with the Spurs all the way till age 44 when he got his first chance to be a head coach. So he was with Pop that whole run there, and then took over the Hawks in 2013 at age 44 after being an assistant for, 17 years?
Yeah.
Went 38-44, and they went to the playoffs, lost in seven games. Then in 2014-15, he turns the corner. They go 60-22.
The Hawks?
Yep. They go 8-8 in the playoffs.
What year is that?
2014. 2015, they come back and go 48-34, and they go 4-6 in the playoffs. 2016-17, 43-39. They get eliminated in the first round in six games. And 2017, this last year, 24 wins, but they had blown it up at that point. Didn't really matter.
Right.
So his best year, 60 wins. In 2014 with the Atlanta Hawks. And he's only had that one coaching job. He is will be 49 years old next year when he coaches. Dwayne Casey will be 61. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a much younger coach in Budenholzer. And if you look at Casey, he got his first NBA assistant coaching job at 37. Mm-hmm. Budenholzer got his at 27. Right. Just to give you an idea of the two. One came up under George Karl. The other came up under Popovich. There you go. I mean, take it what you want. Terry Stotts did too. Stotts had his troubles here in Milwaukee and then has flourished in Portland for the most part since going to the Trailblazers. All right, so, and he was with the Hawks. He wasn't that good with the Hawks either.
Not to get on Toronto, but do they feel that, is it Budenholzer?
Yeah.
Can get them over where they need to be?
Oh, I'm guessing that must be the reason. if that's who they end up hiring. Right. And why else would you make the move? Right?
Because Toronto's problem has been they can't beat LeBron, right?
Right.
But yes. That's going to be everybody. That's essentially every coach's problem.
In the East, right.
In the East.
Yep, for sure.
I mean, until he leaves, until something happens to him.
Well, something may happen this offseason where he goes to the Lakers, and then it's going to be
then
freed
it's
up.
West. Yeah, right. So I'm just saying, until he leaves, until something happens to him, everybody's going to run into that problem. And pretty much the way I see it, I mean, he basically got Dwayne Casey fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no different when, you know, when Michael had his run. I mean, and Michael, really, if you look at some of the greatest players that ever played, like Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Stockton, those guys don't have championships because of Michael Jordan.
Jordan took them all down.
Yeah, because they were all out in the East. They're out in the East, and then when they went to the West with Utah, Karl Malone, number jokers played him in the championship, he beat them there. So, to me, I don't get the firing of Casey because of that.
I do.
So,
I would have done it, too.
Yeah, of course you would have. But if they go and hire Budenholzer, that makes sense to me. If they go and get because they need, you know, they gotta push it over the top. If they got to push it over the top.
They can't hire an assistant.
No.
I don't think.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they got to push it over the top. To me, you got to go get an established guy that's kind of been there, done that, did that. Otherwise, you're in the same spot. Unless you think Budenholzer can beat LeBron. Because that's what it comes down to. Now you want the head coach to go beat LeBron. So he's got to be a better coach. He's got a scheme. He's got to have a game plan. And it's not far-fetched that Boston can beat
Cleveland
because of their coach.
Correct.
So is there another one of those guys out there? It's kind of what you're looking for.
Everybody's trying to find him.
That's what you're looking for.
Everybody's trying to find him. And that's the problem right
now.
But
Danny Ainge should get some credit, too, in what these guys are doing. I mean, that team has more talent than most people thought. Of course, there's a lot to do with the coach.
And again, that's the same situation in Boston.
They hit on those guys that they went and got, man.
They've left Danny Ainge alone. You do what you got to do. From going back to putting together Ray, KG, and Rondo to blowing it up and still letting him do it the way he wanted to do it and build the way he wanted to do it. I can't say it enough, man. The owners that meddle, and I know it's their right? I mean, they paid all the money, the millions. If they want to meddle, they can meddle. Fine. But it's going to be awfully tough to win that way. I think it's going to be awfully tough to win basketball games and be successful when you got owners trying to act like they know what's going on. Or business people trying to act like they know what's going on the basketball side.
But that's been Boston's...
Ridiculous.
But that's been Boston's MO, though, from day one, though, Steve.
Where the owners get out of the way?
Yeah, I mean...
Fine.
If you go back... I mean, if you go back to... No, I'm doing this. But if you go to Red Auerbach...
Oh, here we go with Red Auerbach again.
But, I mean, he did it all.
Right,
I mean,
really.
Do we even know who... Was he the owner? Because most of you thought he owned the team. Seriously.
No, I hear you.
Most of you thought... And he was... You know, if you talk about, you know, setting the standards, I mean... Bill Russell's the first African-American player coach ever in the game. So, I mean, Boston has kind of been ahead of the curve in what the Celtics have been to a certain degree. I mean, and Red Auerbach took a lot of heat when Bill Russell became player head coach in Boston. That wasn't easy to do. And they did. I mean, why not give Danny Ainge the whole kit and caboodle? Because he's most certainly – cut his teeth under one of the most legendary guys to ever do it.
Right. Yep.
But you got a lot of these other young guys that are here that owns our team now. And I call them young, but they're not. But I would say new to the game. You got a lot of guys new to the game with a lot of money, want to spend it. And it's not necessarily their toy, but they're trying to figure out how it works. I'm talking about the guys here now in Milwaukee. How the basketball side of things work. Because if you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, the what they've done downtown has been absolutely incredible. The basketball side of it has been kind of up and down, been very wishy-washy, so not so much. But if you're looking for a new coach, to me, Steve, then I would have to go.
Hold on. Hold that thought. Gary will tell you which way he'll have to go coming up next. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250.
Do I have to choose one of those guys?
Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. No, like I said, it's Casey, Budenholzer, or other.
Gotcha.
Which way do you want to see the Bucks go? They got more interviews coming up. Blatt is interviewing here.
Don't want him.
You've got Becky Hammon is going to be interviewing coming up.
Don't want her.
They've already interviewed Monty Williams. I don't want him.
Don't want him.
So these are some of the people that they've interviewed, and we'll see if they go after Dwayne Casey. They interviewed Budenholzer on Tuesday, so that's out of the way.
Right.
They haven't got to the point of interviewing finalists yet, so if Toronto isn't wanting to interview 100 people, they could just step in, hire him, and be done with this if that's the guy they wanted. Before we go to break, before you hear what Gary has to think who his guy is, Darth Lord tweets at The Fan, thanks Gary Ellerson at 105.7 FM The Fan and to Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center. And it's a Pandora bag with stuff stuffed inside with a pink bow, I'm assuming for Mother's Day. I'm guessing that's what Darth Lord is doing.
Yeah, I guess
what he's doing. So nicely done,
did he ask
Darth Lord.
Did he ask for Dean Murray?
He's got Dean Murray in the tweet.
All right.
Yeah. And to Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center. So nicely done, Darth Lord. All right, back after this on The Fan. Who do you want? Do you want Budenholzer? Do you want Casey? Or do you want somebody else? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. See Sparky Fife. Packer, former Packer running back, Badger running back, Gary Ellerson with me. Mike Clemens, Marty the intern. Hanging out, talking to you about Dwayne Casey getting fired by the Toronto Raptors. We're going to talk with Steve Novak, who played for Dwayne Casey, coming up in the next segment, and get his thoughts on how he thinks Casey may fit with the Bucks if they decided to go that way. That comes up at about 2:35. Right now, asking you, who do you want? Casey's out there. Budenholzer is out there. Toronto apparently wants him. The Bucks interviewed him on Tuesday. Or would you prefer somebody else?
414. Why did Budenholzer get fired from Atlanta?
799-1250 did not. He wanted out.
He walked away.
And they agreed to let him out. Right. Because he didn't want to go through the rebuild, I don't think. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. And now they're going to hire an assistant coach, it looks like, in Atlanta.
Just that's what they should do.
Just to come in and run it until they're ready.
That's what they should do.
And to give somebody a chance and lose and whatever.
That's a waste of that man's time.
Right. That's what will happen. All right. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Let's go to Tim in Tulsa. You're next up on The Fan. What's up, Tim?
Guys, I was going to bring this up last week and when the Becky Hammon talk came up, but you guys just ran out of time and switched over to the Brewers, and that's fine. I'll bring it up now. To me, there's only one coach that can fix this team. And to me, it's Doc Rivers. Milwaukee market ties, respected, a guy that somebody, this franchise should just let somebody run this team.
I don't want him running the team.
I think you bring in Doc Rivers, you bring in his people, a guy that the players respect because of what he's done on and off the court. And to me, going into a new stadium, I mean, the guy's your name, and I don't even know. You know, I mean,
right?
I think you bring in Doc Rivers, and I think that's easily the best choice, in my opinion.
Okay, well, Doc Rivers, it looks like, is getting ready to sign a big extension with the Clippers going forward. So it doesn't look like he's going to be available to anybody in the NBA outside of L.A. So,
well, didn't I just see that they were letting him talk to Marquette?
I did not see that. So if you saw that, I missed that. The last report I saw was yesterday that they're working on a multi-year extension and he would be there through the whole rebuild or whatever they're doing in L.A. with the Clippers. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, and I think that's because he's a good coach, and I wish we could do something to get Doc Rivers in this building.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. This is what I don't disagree about. I don't disagree with the idea of letting somebody come in here and run the show and have a president of basketball operations. So that I'm fine with. If I'm going to pick somebody, I'll take David Griffin, the former Cavaliers general manager. And before you go, well, I mean, who was LeBron? I get it. But, and this is the one benefit I get as a fan. So I get to listen to him on the radio. I get to watch him on TV. I get to see how his brain works. I get to hear his thoughts on different views around the league, different players, everything. I'm impressed. I'm impressed by what I've heard from him for the last 3-4 months. I was just listening to him today. I'm very impressed. So if I'm going to go find somebody to run the show, I'll hire him, let him hire the coach, and then take us wherever we're going to go down the road. I'd rather do that. Larry Bird, Gary Wolf was thrown out there. I'm comfortable with that if that's what they decide to do. I'd prefer that. But even in that, you still have to have these owners get out of the way if you're going to hire a president of basketball operations. If you're not, and if you're still going to meddle and get in these guys' way, then it's pointless. Then just do it the way you've been doing it. Gary Ellerson, of these guys that we're talking about here, with Casey, who is a coach of the year, three consecutive 50-win seasons, has developed Toronto from nothing to something. Buttonholzer in Atlanta's got a 60-win season on his record, and did some good stuff with the Atlanta Hawks until they decided to rebuild or other. Where are you leaning right now?
Well, I had piggyback our first call, and I have been calling for Doc Rivers the whole time. And they had an opportunity to do that if they really wanted to. But I don't think they want to pursue it. And to me, it makes too much sense. The Doc Rivers thing, if you're going to make a huge splash next year, you're going into the new arena. I even gave up a draft pick to go get Doc. I mean, I didn't think Doc was very happy in L.A. They had so much stuff going on in L.A. I thought for sure that he wanted out of there. So now you're talking a new extension to him. That kind of surprised me a little bit. But if you want to go out and get a guy, sometimes you had to go get a guy. And Rivers is, I think, the best guy for the job. Now you're going to choose between Casey and Budenholzer, which, you know, just put one ahead and pull them out, Steve, for those two guys. Now, those two guys would be at the top of my list versus all the other candidates that they have talked about are going to run through here.
From a billboard standpoint and a PR standpoint, with Casey up on a billboard, coach, reigning coach of the year, now your coach. Yeah. I mean, you can do stuff with that.
I wouldn't give Doc all say if I were to go get Doc.
I don't think Doc would come otherwise.
Doc would only be my coach.
Yeah, I don't think Doc would agree to it otherwise.
Well, what has he got in L.A.?
Total control. Well, he had total control.
Took it from him.
Yeah, he had total control. They pulled it away and they gave Lawrence Frank
personnel
say. But he had total control when he got there.
And they took it from him.
And if he's going from cold weather to snow, I got to think it's going to take more than just a head coaching job. I could be wrong. Maybe he still have a lot
of
hassle.
What did he have in Boston?
No. Danny Ainge had control.
Right.
So, and they largely Boston to go to L.A., he demanded total control.
Right, which is fine because that was the Clippers.
Yep.
And the Clippers had to have that to get that kind of coach.
To try and get Blake Griffin and Chris Paul over the hump.
Yes, right. And I get it. So that's kind of where we are. We may have to make some sort of concessions that way to get that guy.
I mean,
because if you look at Doc, I mean, Doc's won a championship. I mean, he's got the pedigree. Yeah, you might have given up something to get that guy. Budenholzer and Casey, pick one.
All right. Lane in Menominee Falls, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Lane?
Hey, Sparky, how we doing?
Good.
All right. I got to go with the coach of the year. Take Dwayne Casey. He's coach of the year. He made it there, you know, not just for his looks. I mean, taking Toronto from absolutely nothing to what they are now. I mean, he's coming into Milwaukee. He's got a ready-made team that's ready to go. And it would be really nice. I don't know if Lowry or DeRozan, if their contract is up, but boy, it should be nice taking one of them guys along with you. That would shore up the backcourt. Have Brogdon or DeRozan, could you imagine them two back there? You get Thon Maker, get him to start eating a couple more potatoes, put some pounds on him. And you got a ready-made team that could probably make the fourth or third seed in the East.
All right. Thanks for the call. So he's all good with Dwayne Casey coming in. I think when you talk about, and we're going to find out from Steve Novak here, we got to get to a sports flash, and then we'll see what he has to say about this whole deal. When you talk about Dwayne Casey, he did help to develop DeMar DeRozan from where he was to where he is today. DeMar DeRozan did get better under him.
Correct.
He had a bench full of young players on this year's team. They redid their offense from last year to this year, realizing they were going to have to focus more on the three-point shot, get up more three-point shots than they had in the past.
They did that.
So he has shown you the ability to kind of make those adjustments from one year to the next or whatever the case may be, depending on how they're being played and why they're losing. He's not stubborn to the fact of, nope, this is my system and I'm not changing it. So I like that about him, that he's willing to make a change if a change is necessary.
He just can't beat LeBron. I don't expect for him to come and beat LeBron because he ain't been able to beat LeBron.
Right. Ronnie tweets at the fan, I like to see them kick the tires on Jay Wright from Nova. I doubt he'd leave. He has a pretty sweet deal, but why not see if you can be the next Brad Stevens? If not him, I'm all for Mark Jackson. Feel he got a raw deal in Golden State. Those guys were starting to play once he left. I don't think Mark Jackson will ever get another head coaching job in the league. Feel pretty confident about saying that. Yeah. Good old KS is Jay Wright, then Budenholzer, then Casey, then Becky Hammon, then Messina, and then Sam Cassell. And then I'm good with about 5 to 10 others as well. And I think that list is okay as well. Everybody knows I like Messina. That's the guy that I like. Decorated coach from over in Italy and so forth, has done a tremendous job. Now he's been under Pop in the NBA. I'd like to see what he can do. I think he's a good X's and O's guy. Paul Henning tweets at the Fan, I've got Messina as my number one, but would be very happy with Bud or Casey, tweeting in at the Fan. 180 says, Casey better than Bud, in my opinion. Having Casey would come in handy when playing the Raptors in the future, seeing he knows the player's tendencies very well. That's a good point, Gary.
No, you're right.
He's owned the Bucks in Toronto. So maybe he could help the Bucks figure out why they were getting beaten so badly against Toronto.
Well, no doubt they get better, I think, with either one of these guys.
Correct.
I mean, I think they get better either one of these guys. The problem is, where are you going to go? I mean, right now, you have to just get in line and try to have a team that can beat LeBron. Now, Toronto right now,
Gary, they haven't won a series.
Right. Toronto right now, if that's what you're okay with, because Toronto right now, they are just shell-shot with LeBron. So if you're saying to yourself, okay, can we put together a team that can go beat Cleveland if LeBron stays? Because that's what the ultimate goal will be. Now, if you're okay, well, geez, we just want to win a series.
I think they go probably.
So if we win that series and we win a series for a couple years and then we're done, then do we fire Casey or Budenholzer?
And then
at
get
point?
The next coach to get you over the hump if there's to be one. I think right now that probably is the goal, is to get somebody that can get you to that Eastern Conference Finals and then figure out if you have to find somebody else to get you over the hump. And, when it comes to getting Giannis to buy in, having somebody help you with the Jabari Parker decision, what you want to do there, if you're going to let this person play a role in it.
Right.
And then how to get Middleton, Bledsoe, and Giannis to play better than what they played together as a unit going forward. What role will Malcolm Brogdon have in it? This coach coming in has talent, but there's a lot of questions that have to be answered with the talent that he has. And then he's got to figure out how good is this locker room, chemistry-wise and otherwise.
And that's the problem.
Going forward. Steve Novak of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Milwaukee Bucks. He will join us coming up next. He played for Dwayne Casey. We'll see what he thinks about him possibly being the next Bucks head coach. Straight ahead. Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and this guy. No, Marquette legend, Milwaukee Buck, sharpshooter. On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he played for Dwayne Casey. He's known as Steve Novak. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure. How are you guys?
Doing good, man. Hey, so first things first, let's talk about your thoughts on Dwayne Casey and what happened there in Toronto, because as Gary pointed out earlier, until LeBron James is out of the East, everybody's going to continue to get fired if the standard is you have to beat LeBron.
Yeah, you're right about that. No, I mean, listen, it's hard to argue with, right? I mean, you got this guy LeBron in your conference. It seems to be a bit of trouble. It feels a little bit like the Jazz when Michael Jordan was with Chicago. It was like, how many championships would the Jazz have won? They not had to go through Michael every time getting beat. So, I think it's tough, but it's also, I don't think, totally unexpected. When you win Coach of the Year, you pretty much automatically get fired.
Yep.
So you sort of knew that was coming. not really. But, I think in Toronto, right, they've got this core that they've absolutely kept together. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Valanciunas, they traded Serge. But they kept that core together, and there's no question it's been like a frustrating losing the first round last 5 years for them. So, I don't think that it's Dwayne Casey's fault, but their players appear to not really be able to be moved right now. So does firing Dwayne Casey seem like a drastic, I guess, move that you would expect to be made by a team that hasn't been able to kind of get over that edge? Yeah, I think so. But, a lot of times that's the case.
So you're right. And not to dwell on Toronto, but then because they fired Casey, then where do they go from here? I mean, who is that guy they go get to is the LeBron Slayer? Because basically that's what you're doing. Who is that head coach?
Go get David Blatt.
He was with
LeBron. He's got him figured out. He can beat him.
Or not.
I don't know.
No, I pass on.
Or not.
Yeah, I pass on.
The truth is, I mean, like you said, as long as LeBron's there, if the standard is that you have to be LeBron, I mean, everyone's going to be fired. So, you know, I don't think a lot of times it's almost never is it do you lose a tough playoff series, even if it's a bad first round loss, does the coach get fired because of that? I mean, I'm not there. I played for Coach Casey when I was in Dallas. He was under Rick Carlisle. Casey was an assistant. He ran the defense. The Mavs won the championship that year under him. He was a fantastic coach. I mean, lived and breathed basketball. So in terms of what kind of coach, how does he work, how is he wired kind of guy, I mean, he's as quality as they get in terms of person and knowing his stuff defensively. And in Toronto, he knew that as the head coach, and he brought in Nick Nurse, who was the G League coach for the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, who was an offensive guru, won like 5 championships in the D League. I know it's not the same. I understand that. But he put the pieces around him, and you know, Nick Nurse is interviewing for the Bucks job right now. So, you know, I think sometimes when they say, like, it's not you, it's me, that's the case right now. You know, it's like, what more could he do, I think? So they're going to go in a different direction.
You say Nick Nurse is interviewing for the Bucks job?
That's the name I've heard tossed around, yeah, on the list. I mean, I'm reading the same stuff you are. But that's definitely a name I saw. I think it was maybe the Journal Sentinel had written it, or I don't know who wrote it. But
because this is going to be interesting, yeah. What's going to happen here, because Budenholzer just interviewed on Tuesday. He's thought to be a candidate for that Toronto job. They're saying Stackhouse could be a candidate because he's running their G League team and has been really good in the G League team. And then you have Nick Nurse, who's on that staff, who they've also set as a candidate. So the Bucks now are in a very weird position because they're not even to the point where they have finalists to get to the interviews to the ownership. But if they do want one of these guys that Toronto is considering, and I haven't seen Stackhouse mentioned with the Bucks, but one of these other two guys, they got to move quick before Toronto gets in it, I would think.
Yeah, I think part of it, I guess, is how the Bucks view the Milwaukee Bucks job versus the Toronto job. If it's unanimous that everybody wants the Bucks job if they can have it, and if they can't, they'll go to Toronto. Then I think they probably decide that they can take their time. But I agree, if everybody's kind of on the clock, and you know, if you interview and you can come to a unanimous decision among ownership that that's the guy quickly before Toronto gets an opportunity, you can kind of force some of these guys' hand and say, hey, look, you know, you got the offer for 24 hours if you're serious, if you want this. You know, I watch Shark Tank. I don't know about you, but look, make them make a decision. I agree, but I think the Bucks job is more tempting.
See, you know, we're going to talk about this at 4 o'clock, Bucks or Raptors, which one is more tempting. But if somebody were to call you, one of these coaching candidates or whoever it may be, and be like, all right, Steve, look, you got the skinny. You've been there this whole last couple of years or whatever else. What is it that I need to know coming in about this Bucks roster? What would you say?
I mean, about this Bucks roster, I would say, I don't know if you've been watching lately, but they got this guy named Giannis.
Well, obviously.
Well, no, okay, but I mean it. Okay, so you can talk back the other way and say, oh, they lost in the first round to Boston without 2 superstars. Oh, they didn't make the playoff a couple of years ago. That's fine. But anybody who's been paying any attention knows Giannis is one of the very few guys that has the ability to, no matter what city they're in, get the attention from other guys in the league. Guys want to play with a guy who is unselfish, who is continuing to get better, who lives and breathes this. He's a unique superstar. He's not a guy people don't like or don't think they can play with. And so, yes, I think he can get somebody, I don't know who, to come here. It depends on how the pieces fall in each summer and what cities are left for free agents to go to. But, yes, there will be a temptation for someone to make a leap and go play with Giannis because he's that good, because I imagine after this year there's going to be more excitement, more hopeful winning. And I think, honestly, versus Toronto, there's kind of it has a little bit of a stigma. I think it's a harder place to get guys to go.
Steve, from your standpoint then, so you get a new coach and then hopefully all the pieces fall together. From your standpoint then, what do the Bucks need to add as far as players to get around Giannis to make this team better?
You know, you know, Sparky and I have talked about this on the radio show we had done during the season. And, you know, yes, I as a player was a shooter, but I genuinely mean this, that for the Milwaukee Bucks, there's the conversation of, okay, Giannis is the alpha. He is the main piece. He is obviously not going anywhere. As long as he wants to be here, he'll be here. Okay, if that's the case, everybody's saying he's got to shoot the ball better. He's got to be able to score from the perimeter. I don't think that's the case. I think he is so amazing at what he does, scoring in the paint, dominant guy who scores that way. And what, if he gets the perimeter pieces, guys that can – a lot of pieces that can shoot the ball from the perimeter, bigs, wings, guards that can shoot the ball at a higher percentage and more volume from the perimeter, I think it turns this just very quickly, this franchise, into a totally different contender. Because of how good Giannis is, you have to have that perimeter three-point shooting presence. It has to be how you play with defense, which I believe, you know, the Bucks are well aligned to be a decent defensive team. And if they can just get better from the perimeter, I mean it. I just think it makes Giannis immediately better. And he's such a threat in the paint, in the lane, that those pieces that shoot from the perimeter are going to be that much better because the defenses are going to be around stopping him. So that's the one piece I see that can quickly improve and change. Is Milwaukee a first-round team or a contender? Right. To me, is strictly perimeter shooting.
Let me ask you, Steve. I'm glad we got you on here. Draymond Green said, well, I think it was last week, called out, didn't really call him out, but just said, you know, Kevin, we need for you to be Kevin Durant. We need for you to shoot more. I mean, we're not going to win if you don't, you know, if you're not coming with your A game. Who on that Bucks team in that locker room would call Giannis and says, Giannis, take as many shots as you want because we ain't going nowhere if you ain't doing what you need to be doing? Player-wise,
I mean, I think that's such a good point, and there's no question that there are guys on the team right now that would say that. I think Dellavedova has and will continue and does say that kind of stuff to guys. I think Jason Terry is a veteran guy who says that. But if you're not one of the top three, and it's not a knock on Dell, it's not a knock on Jit. Those are their role
exactly.
But if you don't have one of the top three, if you're not, I've been in the San Antonio locker room where there's Timmy Duncan, there's Tony Parker, there's Manu Ginobili. Those three are setting the tone, are saying those things. I've been on teams with Dirk Nowitzki. He's the guy saying those things. And so, to be honest, there really shouldn't need to be a guy telling Giannis those things. Giannis should be, he has to know he's that guy. He has to be the all-star, the guy that makes this team go, and he needs to be telling the guys around him, no question, what he needs from them and empowering them, because there's no doubt in that locker room that Giannis is the leader of this team. And I think it's tough when you're young, like you're saying, who's the guy to tell Giannis? He is wired that way to be getting there. I feel like so soon he's mature to know he needs to just be a self-starter, to know what he needs to do, and he needs to be, you know, empowering and just getting the guys around him going and knowing what they need to be doing. That's that next step for his leadership for sure.
Because sometimes what you don't want to do is ruffle any feathers, though, because sometimes you could be in a precarious spot in that locker room. But if you're the alpha, I mean, everybody knows LeBron is the alpha dog. I mean, but sometimes you don't want to, I guess, ruffle any feathers with your other teammates. If you're not as comfortable in yourself, you know, doing those types of things or saying those types of things.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there are a lot of guys that are not comfortable being in a boardroom setting, right? In the locker room where they know they're the boss, they're the CEO. They need to be delegated. They need to be giving guys motivation. And that's not – guys aren't trained and schooled in that. And so it's a skill that when you get a guy who really is able to do that, like LeBron. But there's not a LeBron – There's not guys telling LeBron, take as many shots as you need to, you know,
right.
Really push the tempo. Maybe earlier in his career, there was certain influence around him that would help him with that.
But go ahead, Steve.
No, just say, to my point, Giannis, to be that, call it LeBron-like figure in that locker room, which he is on the trajectory to be in terms of leadership and understanding his role and
it's just natural that he's a little uneasy doing that, but he cares too much about how he works and about the game of basketball for it not to get there. He's not a casual competitor, a casual off-day worker. I mean, he's living and breathing this, and if it means as much as it does to him, that leadership part, it happens. It comes, and it will with Giannis.
So, Steve, because I saw you play at Marquette, and I saw guys get you that ball over there in the corner, you were shooting it, they were already walking back down the court as you were letting it go. It hadn't even gone in yet.
Listen, you need the younger me's. That's who the Bucks need. They need younger versions of me, baby. I'm telling you,
yeah.
Find a bunch of them.
I agree. One last thing. As far as Casey in this Bucks roster, what does he bring to the table to this Bucks roster that maybe Jason Kidd didn't? How are they different?
Who did you say?
Casey versus Jason Kidd. How are they different as far as how Casey would approach things and offense and defense versus maybe what Kidd did?
You know, I think Coach Casey was, he was just, if you watch him on the sideline, he's an open book, right? He's basically playing defense with his team. He's yelling out every coverage. He's very emotional, right? He's just showing you everything he's feeling and doing. And so as a player, you very much look over and you know how he's feeling or what you want him to do. Jason, no question, was much more kept to. You didn't always know. You did have to go to him after practice sometimes and go, hey, you know, I looked over at you in practice and you gave me that look like, what, did I do something right or wrong or were you mad or happy? So I think, you know, the difference with those two guys was for sure the emotion. And a lot of times that's just the case with these coaches, is how they carry themselves, is how their players are playing out on the floor. They're often very much a representation of that. And that's the biggest difference to me that I would say between Jay Kidd and Coach Case emotionally.
I just want a different defense. That's all I want. Steve, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. There he is, Steve Novak on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank. Committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935. The Packer Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler, leapt into the studio while Steve Novak was doing that interview. And just in time to talk about Tremont Williams and the Green Bay Packers coming up after the Sports Flash, we'll hear from Leroy Butler. But first, Gary Ellerson is going to tell us how you can brew your own brew.
Yeah, my good friends over at Northern Brewer, located on Highway 100 Greenfield Avenue, guys, on the 13th, that is Sunday, they're putting together a Mother's Day Make Wine with Mom event. A Mother's Day fruit basket is best fermented and shared in a wine glass, and the floral notes of Pinot Grigio are far better than any bouquet. Join us on Mother's Day to relax and create your very own handcrafted vino with Mom. Our experts will guide you through the process, and at the end, you will have a piece of art she will be even more proud to display in the kitchen than your kindergarten finger paints. Now, folks, here's what you got to do. There's an $80 registration fee, which includes a complete take-home wine-making kit. And here's what's in that kit. The Master Venter Small Batch Equipment Kit, 1 gallon of wine recipe of choice, we're going to be in a small group setting, direct access to Northern Brewers wine experts to guide you to wine excellence, guaranteed recipe success, and, of course, we always will have samples available. Guys, go check my good friends out over at Northern Brewer, located on Highway 100 in Greenfield Ave.